Okay, Shemitah Shir to women, Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Okay, so the first thing is not to be afraid of Shemitah. Now, I was in Eretz Yisrael for the last Shemitah, and I went through the whole year barely knowing that it was Shemitah. Why? A simple cheshbon. I used Bedat Seidah Haredah's Hechsher, which many people will be using. They buy from Goyim. I live in Yerushalayim. The minig in Yerushalayim is that if you buy produce from Goyim, it does not have Kedushas Shviyas, which we'll be talking about today, among other things. And therefore, so my regular fruits and vegetable store, Bedatz Hechsher, everything was from Goyim, or south enough of Eretz Yisrael that it's outside the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael. And that's all, so I didn't have to worry about anything, and the issue barely came up. Once in a while, I'd see a sign outside, "We're giving out apricots today," which Shvius, come get your apricots. So, we never went. So I went through the whole year without knowing it's Shemitah. And really, if you stick to the Haredi Hashgachas, we'll call them, let's say, Rav Efrati and Eida Haredis and Rav Rubin and others, they get from Goyim. And therefore, we'll be talking about. There is a chumrah, not a chumrah, there are shitas that even from Goyim it has Kedusha Shviyas and you have to worry about what to do. But that's what I'm saying. Okay, so that's, first of all, you can go through a whole Shemitah without knowing it's Shemitah, unless you have a garden. And also, you shouldn't be scared of Shemitah, even if you do end up with Peiros which have Kedusha Shviyas, and it seems like, oh my goodness, I'm going to give my baby a banana and he's going to throw it on the floor. And what's this about a Shemitah garbage can? And what do I do with leftovers on the plate? And how do I wash dishes? And it seems like wow, like I can't deal with this. But I imagine that to a not yet frum person, you start telling him about Hilcha Shabbos, you walk into the bathroom, you can open the light, you have to cut toilet paper before Shabbos, you can't use the toilet paper, you can't cut up a salad too small, you can't pick out this toys, borer, muktzah. Like, what's this Shabbos? It's like, seems impossible. And it is rather complicated. But then once you get into it, Shabbos has its own rhythm, its own flow. And if you go to Mrs. Malinowitz's Shabbos here, then you know all the halachas anyway, and everything works out. And I imagine when we first heard about the halachas of Tiras HaMishpacha, it also seemed like, oh, what are you? I can't handle the keys to the car. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's impossible to live like that. And we've all learned that it is possible to live like that. And certainly the Torah didn't give any dinim that make life too onerous to live. And if you're stressed out because of halachas of Shabbos, Tiras HaMishpacha, or Shemitah, you should come speak to the rabbi. There's something wrong. The Torah does not want you stressed out. It means you can live like life this way. And it seems weird because it seems onerous because we're not used to it. So, but once you get used to it, I'm sure that the halachas of Shemitah and the Shemitah and the Pach Shemitah, the Shemitah garbage can, are no more onerous than these other halachas that I mentioned. Realize that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and we all pray that the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, and you know, you dealt with kachim. You dealt with, if you're married to a Kohen, you have Truma in the house, and all of a sudden, you know, if he bumps into the chair you sat on when you're not Tohar, you know, they're like, the chair, like, whoa, a chair, I sat on the couch. Hello, honey, I want to eat my Truma. Did you sit on this couch today? Like, what are you, crazy? Yeah, that was life. Life in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when there's kachim, and people are eating karbanos, and you're eating shlomim, you're eating a todah, you're in Yerushalayim eating karbanos, and you can't waste a drop, and what do you do with the bones, and what do you do with the leftovers? So this is really good practice for, we yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, we yearn for karbanos, this is very good practice, Shviyas, this is really our first connection to food that is kadosh. Even Kohanim don't eat truma nowadays, because they're tameh. And here we are, if not everyone here will have, but if you have produce with Kedushas Shviyas, then it really is an inspiring thing. you're eating something kadosh. You're like eating truma. You're like eating karbanos. You're eating something that's kadosh. And the word kedusha is very specifically, precisely used by the Torah, by the Gemara, by the Rambam, all over. Kedusha shvias, kedusha saperos, kedusha, kedusha, kedusha. We're eating food that's kadosh. So that's really somewhat inspiring and should overcome the nervousness we have. Again, many people here will not encounter vegetables with kedusha shvias, or fruit with kedusha shvias. We'll explain later on in the shiur why there might be a difference between fruits and vegetables in terms of what ends up on your table. But if you do end up with it, it's nothing to be scared of. You should welcome it. Feel like it's good practice, and there's nothing that, again, is more, I can't imagine it's harder than the other things we do that we're used to already. Okay. I have to start with the lessons of Shemitah, and there's three or four basic lessons that Shemitah is to teach us, the institution of Shemitah. The Torah gave a mitzvah Shemitah. The Chinuch brings down three reasons. One is to force bitachon onto people, right? I mean, again, there's no question that Shemitah was given to an agricultural society primarily. And everybody, you know, you had farmers and everybody was basically a farmer and people grew their food. You didn't have agribusiness that your kids didn't grow up thinking that apples come from the produce department in aisle 8 in the supermarket. So it's to enforce bitachon on Klal Yisrael, right? You go a whole year, it's a sabbatical, right? You know, you take a sabbatical. Once every 7 years you take off and you're supposed to go learn in Kolel or not work the fields and what's going to be with food and what's going to be with, you know. So it's an enforced bitachon. That's one concept of Shemitah, an enforced bitachon. Another aspect of bitachon, of Shemitah, is gemilus chesed, to enforce everyone in chesed. You're giving out your fruit to other people. You're sharing everything. You're sharing basically what you have with others. Right? One of the hilchas Shemitah, which we don't come into contact so much with, is the fact that the peiros, the fruit, the produce of Shemitah, has to be made hefker, and everyone shares in it. And the animals share in it. And the chaya shares in it, the wild animals in the field. And when there's no stuff left in the animals in the field, you have to take the food out of your house, animal food, and take it away from your domesticated animals, behemos, and give it to the undomesticated animals. Share. Hefker. You can't act like the boss. It's not, right? Gemilas chesed. So point one is enforced bitachon. Point two is enforced gemilas chesed. Point three is to enforce on everyone the idea that Hashem is the master, the real master, and it doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to Hashem. And Hashem says, it's not yours this year. You have to share it with everybody. And that enforces the idea that it's really Hashem's. It's not yours. And you can't work your field, and you have to make it hefker. And you're not the real, true owner, ultimately. So it really makes us live that way for an entire year. Another aspect of Shemitah is really Shabbos. And this is really a deeper idea. Just like a person works for 6 days, Sheshis Yomim Ta'aseh Ma'asecha, Ta'aseh Melachtecha. The Torah understands for 6 days you have to earn parnasa, you have to work. So what's going to be with Hashem? So we have davening and learning, and men have tefillin and tzitzis, and we try to connect to Hashem. But really, the whole day pulls us away from Hashem. We're busy with Olam Hazeh. Comes Shabbos, and you're not supposed to be so busy with Olam Hazeh. You're supposed to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. You're supposed to forget work. Sheishis Yomim Ta'aseh Ma'asecha. Yom HaShvi Shabbos LaShem Elokecha. You're supposed to reconnect with Hashem. Shemitah, we're turning to the Eretz. We're turning to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. Eretz Yisrael is... it's Hashem's land. So for 6 years, it looks like every other land produces. We plant it, we plow it, it produces this, it produces that. V'ashana ha-shviyas, v'shavsa ha-oretz Shabbos. It's really a deep, almost Kabbalistic idea that the Eretz Yisrael reconnects to Hashem on the seventh year. and you're not supposed to work the land, and that's the Oretz's Shabbos. And therefore, a manifestation of that is what I mentioned before, that we talk about Kedushas Shvius, and it's a Kadosh. The year is called Kadosh. The fruits that grow and are seventh year fruit, if they're classified as seventh year fruit, they're Kadosh. It has Kedushas Shvius. The Oretz is Kadosh. It's not just you can't work the land. You're not allowed to do this. The Gemara, it's clear from the Gemara that it's a manifestation of the Oretz's Kedusha that says, don't work me on this year. And the fruit are Kadosh. So we're really involved in Kedusha. You can't do business with it. It's really a limud. The truth is, it's a limud for how we always treat our food. You know, because there's very the strictures against wasting it and not using it in the normal way, and using it in an abnormal way, and not making sure it doesn't get ruined, and making sure we utilize it completely and wholly, and with a W-H, wholly, and making sure that we don't use it in an abnormal way. That's concepts we could really use all 6 years. It's just you're not mechuyev to. But when the produce is kosher, is kadosh, then we say you're not allowed to waste it. Hashem wanted it a certain way. You're not allowed to waste, you know, a pit. If we'll see the halachas, a peel, a pit, a piece of apple, you know, you can't just throw it in the garbage. It's kadosh. So it really could spill over to all 6 years how we have to treat what Hashem grants us. Okay, now maybe you want to hear some Hilchos Shemitah. Okay, maybe we'll get to that. So the first halacha that everyone's interested in is that when you make Shechiyanu, when you bench licht Rosh Hashanah night, so everybody hears this, you have to have, you don't have to. The poskim recommend having in mind when you make your Shechiyanu that you're makabel, or you're saying Shechiyanu over the Shemitah year also. Not only are you saying Shechiyanu over the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Shechiyanu v'kimonu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh, but this is our opportunity to have in mind the Shechiyanu also, that, you know, 1 year out of seven, we wouldn't make a Shechiyanu just on the advent of the Shemitah year, but since we're making Shechiyanu anyway, when we're benching licht Rosh Hashanah, so the post can say to have in mind the mitzvos of Shemitah, the year of Shemitah, the zman of Shemitah. Have it in mind, you're welcoming it, and you're Shechiyanu v'kimonu v'yanu l'zman hazeh. You made it through another 7 years. Okay, what does Shemitah involve? Now let's get to some nitty gritty. It involves Isser to work the land. Midioraisa, what's Usser to do is plow and plant. Planting anything. Planting, it could be trees, it could be tvua, yurakos, it could be flowers, grass, anything you plant, it's Usser to plant. This has nothing to do with produce. We're going to learn that Kedusha Shvius on produce is only if it's food. Only if it's human food, perhaps, and animal food, flowers that are made up, are planted in order for their reyach, for their besamim value. But the isser of working the land has nothing to do with that. You're not allowed to work the land to plant grass, to plant things that are not edible. Let's say grass would be inedible even to animals. So you can't work the land. You can't plow, you can't plant. And the Torah asked pruning of a vineyard, probably most poskim hold, because a vineyard, if you know anybody, that in a vineyard the pruning is a very specialized malacha. It's very unique way. They don't just, you know, cut off and prune. It's a very special way you do it. It's a big stimulant to growth. If they wouldn't prune vineyards, the whole kerem would just go kaput. It would get ruined. And there's a very special way you have to prune it. So that's what the Torah asked. Somebody's tape recorder just clicked off. I heard a click. Off. Okay. Okay. So that's what's also midioraisa. Also, when it comes to harvesting, so the Torah said you can't harvest as if you're the owner. There already it's a qualified iser. It's part of treating. That's already not the land. That's the produce that the land produces. You can't harvest it as if you're the owner. You can't harvest it. We won't go through those halachas. They're not so nogeya us. It is really if you have fruit trees, but that's not going to be the focus of the shiur. If you have any questions, you'll have to ask me. Now I'm just going over the basic things. Harvesting is not, clicked again. Harvesting is not that you can't harvest, period. You can't harvest as if you're the owner. You have to make a shinui, perhaps, and of course you have to be mafkir the payros. So you have the land plowing, planting, pruning. Pruning as a stimulant to growth, probably only midioraisa by a vineyard. And harvesting is already the produce, the fruit that's growing. It, even though that you read the Torah, it says don't harvest. But the Gemara says it means don't harvest as if you're the owner. Don't harvest in the normal way. Midirabbanon, and you might notice that on Shabbos, these things are not midirabbanon, these things are called toldos. Right? Watering a plant is a midioraisa on Shabbos. Because it's like planting, right? We take the principle of the malacha, and we say this toldos. So watering is a tolda of zoreya. We don't say that on shvius. We don't go with concepts. The Gemara says on shvius, what the Torah said is asur. What the Torah didn't say is mutter, midioraisa. So rabbonon acid, fertilizing and fumigating, and all the things that the Torah doesn't mention. If it's not plowing, planting, or pruning a vineyard, it's only midrabbanan. Okay, and therefore most of the work that we that's it. Now, it should be mentioned that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is probably drabbanan, according to the consensus of most poskim. However, what I'm about to say in my next sentence about a malacha drabbanan being mutter in a certain scenario, the poskim's consensus is that doesn't apply across the board to everything, because Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only midirabbanan. It does not apply. In other words, we treat the malachos d'oraisa, plowing, planting, pruning a vineyard, as if they're d'oraisa. We don't like say, oh, it's d'rabbanan, so it's mutter to do it in the scenario I'm about to say. So malachos that are d'rabbanan, watering, fertilizing, spraying, cutting, right? Cutting, trimming. Any type of pruning or trimming is also midrabbanon. And the Gemara says that any malacha derabbanon is mutter to do on Shemitah if the alternative is that what you have growing will die. Or if it's for, it'll die or it'll now with peiros, right? So you have, let's say the farmers are growing peiros with kedusha shvius and they're frum, and you know, so the poskim's consensus pretty much is that whatever will produce a fruit that your average consumer would not buy, because they have different size peaches, a size 7, a size 6, a 5, whatever. So if without doing certain malachos, it'll produce a peach that consumers will turn up their nose at, and probably every Shemitah we are more and more spoiled, and right. So they're allowed to do malachas that are derabbanan, and I say like most malachas are derabbanan, right? You spray and you know all these things, you're fertilizing, watering. So again, if it'll die, it's mutter, or if it'll a hezek nikar, if it'll significantly wilt or get spoiled or produce fruit or. Now, what about, or if it'll get ruined in a way that you can't fix it after Shemitah, like it'll wilt, and then after Shemitah you'd have to throw it away. It won't die, but it'll get so ruined that after Shemitah your average person would just get rid of it and go buy a new plant. So it's also mutter. The big issue, which there's a lot of things in Shemitah which are unresolved, really. I mean, if you call me up and ask me a shaila, I'll decide what you should do. Or I'll flip a coin when you're not looking, you know. Yeah. But there's a lot of unresolved issue, because it's really, for 2,000 years, Shemitah wasn't Nogeya. You know, so everything else, you know, we more or less worked out what we're supposed to do. But Shemitah, we didn't more or less work out what you're supposed to do. It's just in the last 100 years. So we're still feeling our way. So if, like, your average case, I say, well, that's an unresolved issue, and, you know, you'll have to leave it up to me to decide what you should do based on the different factors. And, like, yeah, there's a lot of unresolved issues. The most common scenarios happen to, a lot of common scenarios are unresolved issues, because we're still feeling our way in Shemitah. So here's a major one. What about, can you do malacha so that it should, your grass or your hedges should look nice on Shemitah? They won't get ruined. In other words, whatever happens to them this year, you can salvage next year, in year 8. You'll start watering it again. You'll fertilize it. It'll bloom again. But during Shemitah, it'll look chaloshes. It'll look horrid. Are you allowed to do malachas derabonon? Of course, we're talking about. Is that right? It won't die. You just won't have it during Shemitah. But you'll have it next year. If you won't have it next year, you'll have to uproot all of the grass and replant. That's called it dies. That everybody's moda. You could do malachas derabonon, whatever's necessary. You have to talk to your gardener. Your gardener should know some of Hilchas Shemitah. He should, theoretically, even if he doesn't, you say, what's the minimum I do so that it shouldn't die or that it shouldn't get irrevocably ruined? But let's say it won't get irrevocably ruined. It'll just look my grass. Oh my goodness, it'll look chaloshes on Shemitah. That's a shaila. It's an unresolved issue. Some are matir, some are machmir. And if it's no geya, so again, we're talking about malachos drabonon, like watering, or even, it could happen, spraying, you know, fumigating, whatever. If it's only for the duration of Shemitah that it's no geya, a temporary misa, so to speak, it's an unresolved issue, and you have to ask a shaila. We won't deal with it now with a maskana. Okay, let's move on. There is also, the poskim all say that whatever you can do before Shemitah, you should do. So get to work, everyone. Get out of here. You have like a couple of days left. Now, even things that are mutter, because it's only mutter to do if it doesn't die, if the alternative is that it dies, so they say, well, if you can do it before Shemitah, so do it before Shemitah. Because then you have another alternative. Yes, but the Eved, if you were feshlept and your husband was lazy and you couldn't get him to go do it, so then you can do it in Shemitah so that it shouldn't die. But they recommend doing it before Shemitah. Now, even watering, they say, listen, if you have this computer system of sprinkling and you can just set it up before Shemitah and he could adjust the water, you know, in the winter it's going to water it this much because in the winter you don't have to water it that much so that it shouldn't die. And then in the summer, so that's the best because then human hands don't do a thing on Shemitah. It's all set up before. Some say that's mamish mutter, some say. And you can do that if human hands won't do anything on Shemitah. Some say, there's a basic machlokes chazonish or Shlomo Zalman. That's about if you don't lift a finger on Shemitah, you maneuver before Shemitah, but it happens on Shemitah. Like a sprinkler system. You set it up with a time clock. And it waters on Shemitah in a way that's not necessary so that the thing shouldn't die, in an usher dicker way. But you didn't do anything on Shemitah. You know, you set up a Shabbos clock. That's a basic machlokes. Chazon Ish holds that's mutter. Mm-hmm. And Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that because of this concept I told you in the beginning of the Shir, of Rishav Saha Oretz Shabbos Lashem. So you can't be the cause that the Oretz is involved in an usher dicker thing on Shemitah, even if you're home sleeping. It's not like Shabbos, or Shlomo Zalman says. Shabbos, it's you. Shemitah, it's the land. Chazon Ish is Mekel. Okay, so anyway, let's get back to the scenario where you're really allowed of water, because or else it'll die. So the best is to set it up beforehand. Second best is to just set it up now with a sprinkler system so that you don't have to do 100 acts of watering. If you could do one act of watering, turning something on, so that's better than doing 100 acts of watering, even when it's mutter, we're talking. So, and if you have to, so you go around and do 100 acts of watering and put up a big sign. I'm doing this and now my plane shouldn't die. Yes, I know it's Shemitah.
Is this going to get the plants inside the house too?
I'm sorry? Oh, we're going to get the plants in the house. I hope we get to anything. I don't know how much time you ladies allotted to this. Let's see what happens. Okay. Now, to cut anything, to cut. It's also midrabbanan, to trim, to cut. To cut anything for a reason, meaning that's not a growth stimulant. Either the high grass, they say, snakes. The bushes are extending out into the street and passers-by are bumping into your hedges. You want schach. You want to cut down for schach on sukkahs. It's being mazik other plants. It's like, you know, it's pushing against other plants. Maybe it's even blocking sunlight from other plants. Anything that you have a reason to cut, that's not, your reason is not a growth stimulant. If your reason is it looks unruly, it looks wild, it doesn't look nice, I told you, unresolved issue. You have to ask me what to do, lemaisa. But if you have another reason that's not a growth stimulant, it's mutter. It's usually mutter. Again, remember, we're always dealing with an issa d'rabbanan. So it's usually mutter if your intention is not the growth stimulant. Your intention is this side point to avoid hezek, to avoid it getting in the way of passers-by. You want it for schach. You don't want it to push up against other things. To look neat, you have to ask me. So if you have these other reasons that are not growth stimulants, it's usually mutter. You have to do it in a way that it's obvious. You have to do some sort of shinu. You have to do it in a way that it's clear that you're not doing it as a growth stimulant. Since you're cutting away branches, and to some degree that always stimulates the growth of any living thing. Most living things. Don't try it with yourselves. Yeah, so it's mutter. But you just have to have some sort of shinui to make it obvious. It shouldn't be marasayan that you're doing it for. It has to be in some way obvious that you're doing it for these side reasons. Another example of that you didn't intend it for growth purposes is the famous leaking air conditioner into the garden. Trip, trip, trip. Some watering, right? Or sponge. You do sponge and it goes down onto the gina. So here are the rules with this. If it goes onto an area it's not yours, you're not even a shutter in it. Like you don't care about it. It would be clear to any passerby that you don't care. You're not even happy about it. You're not even nicha. Would be the legal halachic term. You're not nicha that this water go on this area. So then it's okay. Again, you're not intending to water anything, so it's mutter. If it's going onto your garden, right? People are selfish. The other guy's garden, what do I care? My garden. It's going on my garden. So you're happy about it. So maybe you don't intend to water your garden. And there are some mekilim that are lenient because that's not your intention. But there are Rav Eliashiv and other are machmirim. If you're happy about it, it's going in an area either a meshutaf gina or your gina, it's dripping down. And you would be happy. Maybe you're not happy about it in Shemitah, but that doesn't count. If you'd be happy about it the whole right in other years, so then it's a problem. You should avoid the machmir that you should avoid it. Now, in the poskim it says that if your sponge is dirty and it has detergent in it and it has chomrei nikui, then it's not beneficial for the plant and don't worry about it. I heard the Rabbi Berkowitz say that that's poshut not true. It's very good for the plant. So I happen not to know. You can check with the gardener. I just don't know. But the air conditioner, it's clean water, and therefore you should avoid it if it's nichale, if you would normally be happy about it, even if now you're not intending to water. Okay. Yeah.
What about, I guess it's totally also then to have your kids play in the sprinklers? That sounds like it's coming from...
To have your kids do
kids
what?
Play in the sprinklers, like if it's hot.
Switch on the sprinklers instead of sprinklers.
You mean they're playing, and the mela, things are getting watered. No, I wouldn't say that. No, because... it's obvious you're not intending to water, and it's obvious that your kids are playing. I'd probably be makel there. Again, why? You're not miskaveng, and it's clear that it's only a byproduct of what's really going on. What's really going on is that your kids are playing in the sprinklers. There are maybe some people that would be machmir, indeed, and not do it. And it's not crazy to be machmir, but if you say, you come over and watch my kids, Rabbi, if you don't let me do this. So then I'm going to allow you to do it. Yeah, please, I really can't handle questions. So if it's a I shouldn't have answered that one either. I'm sorry. I'm always available by email. I'm usually available by phone. And that's what I'm here for, to answer questions. But now I got to get through the shiur. Okay. Now we're talking about plants in the house. I know you all came here to hear about if you can serve your kids food with Kedusha Shvius. I don't know how much Kedusha Shvius produce is going to be in your homes. I don't know if you've signed up with Otsa Haaretz, then you will have a significant amount. If you just go to Aleph, I'm sure they're going to have Eidah Charedis and Shemitah. I'm sure, or Afrati. I'm sure. What? The words Otsa Bezdin doesn't mean anything. It's a generic term. It's a generic term. The words Otsa Bezdin is a generic term that means nothing. It just means... we'll get to it. Okay, let's get to plants. Because we're still... Let's get to plants. Okay. Now, here's the rules. House plants. If it's babayas. Babayas means anything with a roof. It's called babayas. If it's on your mirpeset, if there's a roof overhead when you look up, it's called babayas. If when you look up there's no roof, it's called bachutz, basodeh. So here are the rules. In the house, you have to become familiar with the term otzitz nakuv. An otzitz nakuv, a perforated flower pot, literally, is usur. It's even in the bayis. Bachutz, which includes your mirpeset, if there's no roof, or it's hanging out your window, right? Yeah, and you look up, there's no roof there. So that's bachutz. Midrabanan, even an otzit she'eno nokov is asur. Now, when we say asur, calm down, everyone, because when we say asur, you can always water it if it's gonna die otherwise. So if you decide to go to sleep now, let's say, for 7 minutes, and I don't care about all of these diseases in the house with plastic and metal and on the second floor and on the first floor, you don't have to care about any of that if all you're going to do is water the plants or even fertilize them so that they shouldn't die. Then everything's mutter. So when I'm talking about usur, I'm talking about usur to do things even... to stimulate their growth, to mamish work with it, even if they're not going to die. But if you decide that Shemitah, you're just going to deal with all your plants so that they shouldn't die, then all of these dinim that I'm about to say are not relevant. Because you could always do that. You could do that outside also, we just said. Okay, so we have to make that clear. Getting back, you have these beautiful things. You don't want to just water them. You want them to flower and flourish. Right? So... again, if it's in the house, this is what you need to make it mutter. And again, when I say mutter now, for the next 6 minutes, mutter means to do anything you want. And usur means you can only do things which are midrabanan to avoid them dying. Okay. So, in the bayis, the only time it's going to be mutter is in the bayis, where there's a roof, and an otzitz she'eino nakuv. Then it becomes mutter. You want to know that the Chazon Ish would prefer you not do it even then, but... What? I'm sorry? Sorry? I forgot already, believe me.
You said non-perforated flower.
When the only... first definition. For the next few minutes, mutter means do whatever you want. Usur means you can only do malachas derabanan, which most malachas are, to avoid it dying. Okay. The only thing that's mutter is a house plant in the house, meaning under a roof. It could be under merpeset if it's under a roof. If it's an otzitz she'eino nokuv. Now, what's an otzitz she'eino nokuv? Now you're going to be surprised. So the best thing is if it's I don't know if there's such a thing as a metal flower pot, but if the flower pot that's holding the plant and the soil is metal, or you put underneath plastic, two layers of plastic, like heavy plastic, or PVC, which you'll remember from our Pesach shir. Yeah. So then that's okay. That you've even if you have a flower pot with a hole, you've created an otzitz. Even if you're on the komat karka, and underneath tiles, the poskim are machmir with tiles. Tiles are porous. Tiles are not PVC. They're not metal. They're not plastic. They are porous. And if under here is karka, so then if you have a flower pot with a hole, or a clay flower pot is not necessarily an otzitz she'eino nokuv, even if there's no hole. Clay, there are different types of plants. It's too complicated to go into now, but there are some types of plants, which is the one that lasts more than a year? Perennials? Perennials, clay is not a good hefsek. You would have to get metal, or put underneath plastic or PVC. So if you're on komat karka, you have an otzitz nokuv, which is no good. You have to create an otzitz she'eino nakuv, which you create by metal or by plastic or by PVC. Then you can do whatever you want. That's if you're on komat karka. If you're on the second floor, or you're on the first floor, but you're not tzamud la karka. You're, I don't know. The building is not, it's like up in the air. It's not really sitting on the karka. So there are mekilim, and say, then you're okay. You're in an otzitz she'eino nokov if you're on the second floor. Right? Rabbi Yashiv is very machmir with this, and Rabbi Yashiv is machmir, and he says even on the second floor, the avir is not a hefsik, and therefore you have to treat the second floor like the first floor, which again means if you want metal or plastic or PVC. If the branches go over the flower pot, you've got a problem. Except on the second floor. Rabbi Yashiv says that he doesn't extend his... It's too complicated to explain why, but believe me, it's not arbitrary. His chumrah of the second floor does not extend... If you have a proper flower pot, let's say made out of metal, but the leaves are hanging over the sides, so on the komat karka, that is a problem. You would have to put plastic underneath to make it a full otzitz she'eino nokuv. But on the second floor already, if your only problem are the leaves extending out of the pot, then Rav Elyashiv says in that case it's not a problem. So if you have a proper flower pot and it's an otzitz she'eino nokuv on the second floor properly, the way he holds you have to have it, metal let's say, then the leaves hanging over is not a problem. Okay, yeah. Now the problem, if you're being, let's say you're moving, you're cleaning. It's Friday, so you're going to take the flower pot. Oh wait a second. Okay, I'm going to take the flower pot. You have a regular flower pot. It's sitting on plastic, let's say, but now you want to pick it up. You want to move it outside to the merpeset. Right? You're going to move it to outside where there's no roof. Can you just move it around to clean the house? Let's say you move on Shemitah. So you're taking your flower pot and you're taking it outside. Right. Is that a problem? If you, for a brief period of time, move your flower pot from... And again, that is always a problem. Because if you put it in an area where you're increasing, halachically, its absorption of nutrients... You might be increasing its absorption of nutrients. If you go from an otzitz she'eino nokuv to an otzitz nokuv, so at least theoretically, you're increasing its growth, and you're doing something that's really that's also to do. Or even if you move it into the sun, or if you can you open a window? Oh, wait a second, can you open the window shade? No. So all of these things where you're going about your normal daily activities, and you are for short periods of time. Putting the plant in a situation where it might halachically be getting more nutrients and the like. But it's not your intention. You just want to clean the house. You need that thing out of the way because you don't know what's going on under there. You're going to find your kid's lunches from the last 3 weeks hidden under the flower pot. He thinks he's safe for the whole Shemitah, right? He's been hiding his sandwiches there, right? And so... Many, many poskim are makil and say, don't worry about these things. Just don't worry about it. And some poskim are machmir and say, you take your black garbage bag out of the closet and just enwrap the flower pot. And wherever you take that flower pot, make sure it has that garbage bag underneath it. So some are makil, some are machmir. What can I say? It's an unresolved issue. Okay. I'm sorry? That would not be a problem. That for sure would not be a problem. The problem arises when you're halachically increasing its nutrient absorption. So some are making and say don't worry about it, and some are machmir because they say they want to make life tough for us. Yeah. Okay. We're getting closer to food. There's an isser. Okay, we're actually moving into food now. So if there's something you still don't know about flowers in the house, plants in the house, you're going to have to ask me later. Now we're talking about food. Chazal assered what's called svichin. Svichin is non-perennials, things that are planted every year, like not fruit, vegetables, the five chameshas mine dogon, flowers. Chazal says, if it grew in Shemitah, it's usur. We can't run the risk of people saying, planting stuff in Shemitah illegally, for in a forbidden way, and then saying, oh, it grew by itself, or it's here from, you know. So it's usur. If it grew on Shemitah, it's usur. It doesn't apply to fruit. Fruit, nobody does any, right? Fruit, if you plant something on Shemitah, you ain't getting any fruit out of it on Shemitah. So Chazal were afraid, it involves irakos and kitnios. We know the word kitnios, the beans, legume family, tvua, chameshes mine dogon, and flowers that are lereyach, flowers that are sold in the marketplace for their besamim value, for their besamim. This is why you always need a hechsher on Shemitah, because there's an Isser Sefichin. If it grew on Shemitah, it's Usser. There's also, we are Noheg Isser, it might not technically be Usser, it's a big, major Shaila, but we are Noheg Isser in what's called Shomur V'ne'evad. If something that, for some reason, wouldn't be Sefichin. Fruit's not Sefichin. Why does fruit need a hechsher on Shemitah? Because it might be coming from a field where they work the field, that's called ne'evad, with an ayin, or shomur, the person wasn't mafkir his peros, he treated it like his own private property. We are knowing iser in shomur v'ne'evad. Why am I saying that? That's why fruit need a hechsher. Because even though it's not iser svichin, but there's an iser of shomur v'ne'evad. Or flowers that are not omeid l'reyach, flowers that you just buy for their beauty, so there's no problem of svichin, but it might be shomur v'ne'evad. Someone might have planted these flowers, someone might have worked the field where the flowers are growing. Well, shomur wouldn't be a problem because you don't have to be mafkir flowers. It's not food. You only have to make food hefker, but it's a ne'evad problem, and we're no hegisser. So therefore, you need a hechsher. Now, how do you... There's no Isser Svichin if it was grown by a guy in a guy's field, which is, right, the Hetta Mechira sold it to a guy. So if there's still, obviously there's no Isser Svichin if it belongs to a guy. So that's why the Hetta Mechira. What? Everyone holds that. Well, the Hetta Mechira, not everyone holds it. Ah, you tried to trap me. I didn't fall for it. Okay. Everyone holds that. Produce that grows on a guy's field, if it's truly owned by a guy, there's no Isser Svichin.
But it's still Kedushin.
Right. Maybe not. We're going to get to that. There's no Isser Svichin if it grew by a guy. There's no Isser Svichin if it grew to a certain degree in year 6. It still might have Kedusha Shvius. We'll see in a moment the rules. But if it's not Svichin if it grew enough in year 6 already. And fruit, we said, peros is not Svichin. There's also Eva Hayardain. Certain parts of Eretz Yisrael have no Isser Svichin. We obviously won't get into that. Okay. But even after there's no Isser Svichin, you have to determine if there's Kedushas HaPeros. One major source of the Otsa HaOretz vegetables. See, the Haredi, we'll say the Bedatz. We'll call it the Bedatz. So they go buy their vegetables from Goyim. Now, so there's no Isser Svichin. Now the consumer has a choice to make. Minig Yerushalayim is that if it grew on the field of a goy, it has no kedusha, and that's why you can go through a whole shemitah and not bat an eyelash. If you do Minig Yerushalayim, if you bench licht 40 minutes before shkia, then you have a right to say, "I'm Minig Yerushalayim. I will treat vegetables that grew on a goyish field without kedusha shvius." And okay, if you're from Bnei Brak, or if you follow the Chazanish's Psakim, then you could buy the stuff because it's not Shamur, it's not Ne'evad, and it's not Svichin, but it still has Kedusha Shvius. Now, if you're in Yerushalayim, it can become very, very complicated. If you want to be Machmir, but the store owner is being Soymech on the Eidah Haredis, and their official position is Minig Yerushalayim, there's no Kedusha, because fruit, produce with Kedusha Shvius, you can't do business with. Store owner can't make a profit on it. right? So, and you're giving, and from your perspective, let's say you're being machmir. So, first of all, the money you're giving the storekeeper acquires the kedusha, because that's the din when you pay for shvius produce. The kedusha devolves upon the money as well. So you're giving him, and he's treating it like regular money. Are you being machshil him because he's making a profit out of this, out of these tomatoes? And from your perspective, they have kedusha shvius. So these problems are all solved. Again, if you follow the Bedatz or Minhag Yerushalayim's official position, then there's no, you don't have to stone your buying, there's no kedusha shvius, no nothing, you don't have to worry about anything. If you want to be machmir, and the storekeeper does not, so there's a list of rules what you have to do from your perspective, and you'll, if you plan on being machmir, or if you don't know and you want to ask me if you should be machmir, that's not for now a discussion. Oitzah Ha'aretz doesn't want to buy from Goyim. So one of their sources is things that are not, we're talking about vegetables now, things that are not svichin because they started growing enough in shishis. It's too complicated to explain how much each particular type of thing has to grow, but there's rules for yerokos and for kitnios, there's all sorts of rules. So they're hoping to have a lot of stuff that will not be svichin because it started growing in shishis, but will have kedusha shviyas because it's going to be picked in Shemitah. It's going to be picked under a Bezdin's auspices because it has kedusha shviyas. It's really hefker. What is he picking it for? So there's a system called Otzer Bezdin. Otzer Bezdin means that whatever's going on is overseen by a Bezdin and a Bezdin's running it. Meaning, the stuff has kedusha shviyas. It has to be hefker. We're not getting in our cars tomorrow and going to the orchard and looking for tomatoes. Yeah. Where's the green pepper section? Where's the cucumber? We're not going to do that. So a Bezdin takes over. A Bezdin works on behalf of Kal Yisrael. They will have it all picked and brought to a distribution point in your city. It's much. It would be much better if the distribution point would not be a regular store. But in most cases, it's unavoidable. So it's in the store, but now it has kedusha shvius. So they set the price. And what do you mean price? The thing's hefker. Well, if you look, probably 90% of the cost of everything you buy in a store, all 6 years, is labor and shipping. Vegetables and fruit are very, very cheap. The reason they cost as much as they do is how did it get from the farm to your table? And you want tomatoes every day? And you want them to be red and plump, right? And you want all these things, and you have to pay for them. And most of the cost is probably labor and shipping and packaging and advertising. Okay, so the Bezdin sets the price. And they're going to have on the internet, they're going to have you look up. I mean, the store presumably will follow their rules, and they will set the price. And you're not really paying for the fruit or vegetables, rather. I mean, fruit or vegetables, as the case may be. If it has kedusha shvius, you're not paying for it. You're paying for the labor. Therefore, the money does not get kedusha shvius because you're not paying for the produce, and that's all. That's how the system of that's how an Otzer Bezdin system works. Even the Haredi will call it hashgachas have it in fruit. Somewhere down the line, they're going to have fruit after Pesach. They're going to have fruit that has kedusha shvius, and it'll be distributed under an Otzer Bezdin system, which means theoretically it's supposed to be hefker and everybody goes to the field and picks it. Otzer Bezdin says, we're in charge. We're going to make sure that it's picked and that the rules are followed about how much you spray and how you pick it and how you ship it, and it's going to come in sacks in the stores, and you're not going to be able to determine how many tomatoes do I want. Oitzah Ha'aretz is, for example, is just you're going to buy a sack of tomatoes and that's it, and you're not going to be able to weigh it yourself. Maybe they'll have big sacks and small sacks, but so that's how that's going to work. Oitzah Ha'aretz, God, I'll talk about it because many people have signed up for it, is going to have stuff without kedusha shvius also, because they're growing stuff in hothouses. That's babayis. You might recognize the term. They're putting plastic underneath, so they're growing stuff in an otzut she'eno nakuv babayis, and they're taking the halachic position that therefore it has no kedusha shvius, And therefore that stuff in the matzah menutak, as they call it, it's menutak from the Oretz. So that stuff will not have Kedusha Shvius. And also they've set a halachic southern boundary, and therefore anything south of that is halachically not Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and they'll be getting stuff from there. That stuff is north of Rav Eliashiv's southern boundary, but it basically follows the traditional Batatz Eda Haredes' southern boundary. And that stuff doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. So you'll say, whoa, you're going to go into the store, how will I know if it has Kedusha Shvius or not? If their system works, and to let you in on a secret, they're not quite sure if it's going to work. They're hoping it works because they're involved in a massive scale and they're just hoping everything comes together and it works. The store has been told and has been given hanchayot, whatever the word is, how to do this. You'll know. Is it Kedusha Shvius? Not Kedusha Shvius. So, okay. So again, if it's stuff from a guy, then there are machmirim that still treat it with Kedusha Shvius. If it's stuff from Matzah Menutak or Arava, as it's called, that's the code word, it has no Kedusha Shvius. Obviously, if it's from Chutz La'aretz, it has no Kedusha Shvius. The briskers spend the whole year, they only buy stuff from Chutz La'aretz. They don't want to deal with Kedusha Shvius. That is the attitude of many Haredi Hashgachas, is that the consumer does not, they have a point. A consumer doesn't want to bother with Kedusha Shvius. It's too onerous, it's too burdensome. So therefore we're going to buy from Goyim. There are still consumers that will be machmir and treat it with Kedusha Shvius. But your average Haredi consumer, they say, it's too much for them. And therefore they don't want to bother with any other ways of maneuvering that you'll have Kedusha Shvius, and they just buy from Goyim, and they take the halachic position of Minhag Yerushalayim, and that's all. If you want to be Machmer, go be Machmer. Who cares? Okay, let's move on. Okay. So those are going to be the sources of produce in Shmita, by the way, whether it's fruits or vegetables. It's either going to be from a Goy, and the consumer decides if he wants to treat it with Kedusha Shvius or not. That's one source. It's going to be from Chutz La'aretz or from the Arava. I don't think the Haredes has not announced yet this year, this Shemitah, where their southern border is. Because, you know, if you know anything about life, it gets more south every Shemitah, you know. Because you're always looking over your shoulders to the other Hashgachas, that if they're going to call you Goyim. So that's one source. So it's either Goyim or Chutz La'aretz, but Goyim you decide. Okay, Otsa Ha'aretz will, Het HaMechira I'm not talking about. Het HaMechira obviously is selling it to a guy. If you assume the Mechira was okay, so then you're also assuming it has no Kedusha Shvius, right? And there's a whole system how that works. We don't follow the Het HaMechira. Otsa Ha'aretz is not using Het HaMechira. At the end of the year, they say, they're going to run out of stuff from their three sources. Their three sources being Matzah Menutak, Arava, and stuff that started growing in Shishis and was picked in Shvius. They say, you know, after three quarters of the year, we're going to run out. We know that. They will then offer the consumer a choice, and it'll be clearly labeled and marked, we hope, and they hope. Het HaMechira or Chutz La'aretz. You'll have a choice. Because they ideologically are not against Het HaMechira, and because Otsa Ha'aretz is an arm of Machon HaTorah V'Ha'aretz, whose official position is that the Het HaMechira is valid if it's done the right way. They're moving away from what's called Het HaMechira Klali, where everybody just signs, you know, and they deal with the Minahel Mekarkei, something like that, and they do it privately. It's being done in a better way. Anyway, but the whole point of Otsa Ha'aretz is to really move away from the Het HaMechira. That's really why it's to keep Jews employed. It's to move away from this phenomena that Shemitah became a source of great parnasa for Arabs. To move away from that, but to move away from Het HaMechira as well. So they're like, as you know, they're criticized from both sides, which shows you that they're doing the right thing, usually. Usually that's a good indication. They're getting criticized from their own people, because these are what we call Kippah Sruga people. Pardon, that's just a shorthand way of referring to them. They're being attacked by their people for implying that the Het HaMechira is no good. And they're being attacked by the Haredim for Kippah Sruga. They're wearing the wrong yarmulkes. Okay. The Beis Din of Otzah Aretz, by the way, which they allow me to sit in on, I don't belong to it, but they allow me to sit on it because we're providing a layer of hashgacha for the Otzah Beis Din stuff, so they could be able to say that they have a Haredi hashgacha too. They could say it, but we feel it's a good thing to do. It'll open it up to more people. So we're having our own mashgiach, and so their Beis Din is with Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, you might have heard that name, and Rav Lior from Kiryat Arba, and Rav Yehuda Amichai, and they have very, very chashuva, Yirei Shemayim, Talmidei Chacham, and big people who are on the Beis Din of Otzah Haaretz, and they meet every 3-4 weeks to deal with various issues that come up, and to set the rules. What are the stores going to do? And they'll be giving out pamphlets to the consumer, how to treat stuff with Kedusha Shvius, and then they're hopefully it'll work. Like they're not quite sure.
Are they
going to
do it in English and Hebrew?
No, I don't know. Come to think, I don't even know.
It's not new, right?
It's a really massive scale now. I mean, this Shemitah, they got serious. They have 20,000 families signed up, and they have distribution points in just about every major area, many distribution points. Here you have Chemdat HaTeva, what's it called, signed up with them, Dil V'Zol. And in Givat Sheret, whatever that place is called, they have Super Hatzlacha. They've signed up with them. So, okay. What? Yeah, but there's really no relevance. You can go into the store and buy. You don't have to be a member to buy. They just did that signing up to determine their customer base, because they're signing contracts with farmers. And they are not going to sign for 50 tons of potatoes if they don't have a customer base that, according to their cheshbonos, can. So that's why they wanted that system to allow them to sign contracts with farmers. So now there's almost no relevance to signing up, because they signed all their contracts already. It shows them support. They want to see how many people are interested in their system. Really, I think they're the wave of the future, because more and more people don't want to support Arabs or terror, and more people are moving away from Het HaMechira. And I think they're positioned very, very well. And if it works, that's going to become the wave of the future. What do you do with all the chilonim, though, that have farms and grow produce? Remember, they're only the stuff with Kedusha Shvius, they're only paying the farmer cost. I was there in the Bezin the last time, and like Mr. Potato Man came in, and he says like he sells like 70 or 80% of all the potatoes in Eretz Yisrael. Like and he's dealing with them, and they say, you know, oh, you're going to cover your costs. He said, ah, you're going to cover my costs, Baruch Hashem. Like, you know, I wish every year my costs would be covered. Don't worry, he's probably a billionaire.
So if someone has a farm in Israel and is chiloni, so Kilo, he can rely on the Het HaMechira?
I am not saying that. You'll ask me privately when no one's listening. But but the problem is the chiloni will not sign up with Otzah Haaretz, because they're only, first of all, they're going to drive him nuts what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. And second of all, they're only giving him cost. They're not going to give him any profit officially. How do they determine cost? They have a whole thing with the Misrad Hat, Tachpura, no, that's wrong, no? Chaklaut, how much your cost is per dunam and per acre. They have a whole thing. It sounds great, and it might even work. Okay. Okay, I don't know. You can leave without insulting me. I'm over time already. But okay, let's move on. Now we're up to, what do you do if you have in your house food with Kedusha Shvius? What do you do? Can you give it to your kid? I could say the whole thing in 10 seconds, and you could leave. You're allowed to do whatever's normal. Whatever you usually do, whatever's considered a normal usage, you're allowed to do. You just have to be careful, because you can't waste it. You can't. Okay, so now, the main problem is, you have to be makbid. There's an iser hefsid, it's called. La'achla v'lo lehefsed. V'hoysah Shabbas ha'aretz lachem la'achla. La'achla v'lo lehefsed. So you can't... Now what's hefsed? So there's three forms of hefsed. There's mamish ruining it, making it inedible, doing something to it that ruins it, throwing it on the floor, putting it in the garbage. If most people will not eat it after it's been in the garbage, and you take a perfectly fine half apple and you throw it in the garbage, you're making it not roi l'achila, or you step on it. Right? So you can't be mafsid or mekalkel. That's one form of hefsid. Another form of hefsid is using it not in its normal usage fashion. We'll give examples of each kind. You're using it not in a normal way. You're taking an apple and you're using it to whatever. Or shinui tzura is also called hefsid. If applesauce is normal to make, but let's say it's not normal to take, I don't know, to take something, to make jam out of bananas. I don't know. So then, if you mashana the tzura of the thing in an abnormal way, so mamish kilkel, making it inedible, shinui hishtamshus in a abnormal way, and shinui tzura, what you're allowed to do, and this gives rise to the pachshmita, and this is you're allowed to just put it there and let it rot. Let it become, as long as you don't do anything to it.
You have
your half eaten apple. Okay, you don't feel like eating the other half. Oh my goodness, it's Shemitah. This is an apple with Kedusha Shvius. That's the presumption. In this whole part of the discussion, we're talking about stuff with Kedusha Shvius.
Right.
What do? I ate an apple. I'm sorry. You must eat that other half an apple. So the din is, and this is a psak from the Chazon Ish. This is not so simple. But again, we're feeling our way in Shemitah. The Chazon Ish paskins, you don't have to eat the other half of the apple. You can put it down on the table, and in 2 days, it'll be not edible, and then you can throw it out in the garbage when it becomes not edible. Or you could. Let me say the rules. Let me go through like a whole bunch of cases and scenarios. Okay, so you're allowed to do that. That's very, very important. That's very important that you're allowed to, if you don't do it directly, you're allowed to allow it to become inedible. Okay, now a major unresolved issue is as follows. Machol Behema has Kedusha Shvius. Ma'achol behema means something that a person wouldn't eat, but an animal would eat it. Orange peels, they feed it to animals. They feed animals a lot of peels. Now the problem is, so things that we look at as garbage, and we say, oh, that's garbage, it's not, but it's really animal food. And animal food also, you can't be mafsid. On the other hand, there's no animals around. No one feeds their orange peels to animals. It's not practical. You don't do it. It's not done. It's not all made for that. Major unresolved issue. If you're living in a place where, in that place, nobody uses animal food for animals. There's no animals around. But in the Medina, it's used. You know, it's not. They do. If you find, they take peels. That's what they feed the animals. Or we're not so far from places with animals here. So. Major unresolved issue, and the practical question becomes: if you want to throw out your half-eaten apple, do you have to wait till it becomes inedible to an animal also, or can you throw it in the garbage can, the regular garbage can, when it only becomes inedible to a person? But even though it's edible to an animal, but there's no animals around. You know, it's not aimed to be fed to animals, so that's a major unresolved issue.
So are you allowed to actually feed those meals to animals?
You should. That's a great thing to do. Oh, you can always go, right? I have the solution here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you're the... Oh, boy. You make major problems for us. So you make major problems. No, because there's animals. Oh, boy. I forgot all about that. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm okay, so The following creates problems. I gave you two extremes. You can't ruin it directly, but you can let it sit till it becomes inedible. Yeah? What about, there's something in the middle. If I'm Goreim, I don't directly ruin it, but I directly cause it to get ruined. I don't ruin it. I give it to a child. I put it in the sun. So, you know, it's not going to get ruined right away. I didn't ruin it, but I caused it to get ruined. That's a major unresolved issue. Some say that's mutter. Gram kilkel, it's called. You're goreim. You're not mekalkel it, but you're goreim that it should become ruined. That's a major unresolved. And lemaisa, there, maybe it's not so unresolved. There's a pretty much a consensus that we should consider it usher to do. To treat gram kilkel as also being usher. And therefore, Rav Elyashiv has a tremendous chumrah. He says, even if you have your pach shmita, meaning anything that's still edible, but you want to throw it out, so you're not going to throw it in the garbage, so you're going to put it in this pach shmita and wait till it gets inedible and then throw it in the garbage. He says, but on day number two, when you take something perfectly edible and you put it on top of something that's in the process of becoming inedible, you're hastening the inedibleness of the top thing. So Rav Elyashiv holds everything should be wrapped in plastic even before being put in the pach shmita, so that this not occur. Other people, I mean, there are people that buy two pach shmitas and they have a rotation system. Like every day they empty out number two and they dump number one into number two and then they work with number one again.
Just have a few little.
You could have three. You know, you can be. You say, oh, I'm more machmir. How many pach shmitas do you have? So again. There are matirim to put everything in a plastic nylon bag and to throw it into your regular garbage. I have heard that there are rabbonim that say you're allowed to do that. Wrap it up and just throw it outside garbage. What I don't understand about that, quite frankly, is if you have Jewish garbage men and they're coming along when it's still edible and they're putting it in their garbage truck and they're ruining it. They're being macalculate. They're smashing it into smithereens. So I don't quite understand why that would be mutter. I don't plan on investigating it. If anybody knows a rov that's mutter it and can get back to me about this issue I'm raising, I'd appreciate it. All the svarim I've seen say it's also. That's why you have a pach shmita. I've heard there are rabbanim that say it's okay to do. I don't quite understand why, unless there are goyisha. See, if there are goyish, I don't know if the garbage men choose them. So what you do is you throw it in your pach shmita. According to Rav Elyashiv, even if you're throwing it in your pach shmita, you wrap it in nylon and then throw it in the pach. The idea of the pach shmita is that all the things that I'm gonna go through a list of like 15 scenarios, very quick. 1, 2, 3. What do you do? Pach shmita means you put it in your pach shmita. You wait till it becomes inedible. How inedible? I'm sorry, this is a little unresolved issue, how inedible it has to become. And then you could throw it out in the garbage once it's inedible. I can't say rules. I don't know.
It depends.
Yeah. I've heard that there are rabbanim that are matir to throw it in the regular garbage in plastic. I've said why I don't understand. In your regular garbage in your house. Then you can throw it out. And then it loses all kedusha, and you can just do what you want with it. You throw it out. Okay. Rebosai, Rebetzinosai. I'm almost finished. Whose house is it? Where's the lady of the house? I have to ask you for permission to continue. I only have permission until 11 o'clock. Okay. I'm very quick. I'm just going to go through. Okay. Shinui behishtamshus. There's hefsed or kilkel, shinui tzura, and shinui hishtamshus. Shinui hishtamshus means you're not allowed to eat raw, what's normally eaten cooked. We're talking about stuff with kedusha shvius only, of course. You can't eat raw what's normally cooked. You can't eat cooked what's normally eaten raw. That's a shinui hishtamshus. Okay. There are some things, an apple, I assume. You can follow hilchos brachos as a good rule of thumb. If you'd make a bracha bar priya eitz on it, whether raw or cooked, that's a siman that the derech is to eat it raw or cooked. And therefore on Shemitah you could make a baked apple. And you could, but you can't take, you can't cook, whatever. Okay. arts and crafts, you got to be careful this summer with stuff with Kedusha Shvius. You can't take your beans and paint them or whatever. You can't throw them directly into the garbage can. That's kilkul. Okay. Okay. If you end up with wine with Kedusha Shvius, this is going to be like much later in the Shemitah year, and it's really more Nogea year 8 than year 7. If you end up with wine with Kedusha Shvius, you could put it into other food, but only if you can taste that there's still wine there, that there's wine in that other food. If you put it as an ingredient in a food where it disappears, like you can't tell, that's, you are makalkal the wine. You destroyed the wine. You made it so that you can't do with wine with Kedusha Shemitah. Can you squeeze juices? So things that are, again, the real rule of thumb is do whatever's normal. So things that are normally squeezed for their juices, even oranges or grapefruits, you're allowed to squeeze on Shemitah for their juices. And Baruch Hashem, carrots in most Svarim have reached the Madrega of being mutter to make carrot juice on Shemitah with carrots with Kedusha Shemitah. In most Svarim, some Svarim say not to, but they're obviously not with it, you know. Okay, what do you do with the leftover after you've squeezed out the juice? So again, if it's edible, so then it has to go into the Pach Shemitah until it becomes inedible. If it has been already rendered inedible, what allowed you to render it inedible? Because it's the derech to make juice out of it. So if your orange, if you have Basar HaPri of an orange, and after you've squeezed out the juice, it's inedible, no one would eat what's left. So then, if that's the case, if you have a shayla, you have to ask, but I'm giving the rules now. So if it has been rendered inedible, and it was mutter to do that because it's the derech to squeeze this thing out for the juice, so if it's already inedible, you can throw it in the garbage. If it's not, it has to go into the Pach Shemitah. To peel, so if it's the derech to peel it, you're allowed to, you know, you could eat something with its peel, let's say. You have something that the peel could be eaten, a cucumber. But if it's the derech to peel it, you're allowed to peel it on Shemitah. The peels, if it's edible, have to go into the Pach Shemitah, but you're allowed to peel it. That's the chiddush, if it's the derech to peel it. If it's not the derech to peel it, like a tomato, if it's not Pesach and you're not my wife, if it's not the derech to peel it, then you're not allowed to peel it on Shemitah. You're not, that's called a shinui tzura in an abnormal way. Something that's not the derech to peel, you're not allowed to peel. So, the poskim on matir, by the way, to peel a tomato on Pesach, if you do every Pesach. So my wife breathes easier, yeah. You're allowed to, if you always peel something for an infant or a child, you're allowed to, on Shemitah too, even if it's not peeled for an adult. Or you're not allowed to smash something up, you're not allowed to make mashed potatoes, if it wouldn't be the derech to make mashed potatoes. You're not allowed to mash something up that's not the derech to mash. But if you have a child, and it's the derech to mash it for the child, then it's mutter. Okay.
You can't mash it in order to eat it?
What?
Like
if it's not the derech, if it's not, if it's the derech, it's mutter. If it's something abnormal, you just have to determine if it's the derech. You're going to call me, but you don't realize, I'm going to say, hold on a second, I'm going to ask my wife.
How about if somebody always peels their tomatoes?
That doesn't help. You need, in fact, if something is always eaten cooked and the health people eat it raw, they cannot eat it raw on Shemitah, the post can say. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush.
What's normal for,
how do you determine normal? Yeah.
Well, it's like you said, now carrot juice.
If some people tend to follow like healthy cookbooks, they may not know what is normal. Like the question.
It's a problem. The poskim say if it's a meal, if it's a specific segment of the population that eats it in an abnormal way, they're not allowed to eat it that way on Shemitah. You want to ask a shayla, maybe it's more widespread than one would think, so ask a shayla. Okay. What, you know what? Peels. So we talked about peels. So the poskim they were talking about in the Beis Din, they were talking about that many peels they put sugar on and they... So that creates a problem. That means peels are really something that are still edible. And therefore... So the Svarim I saw say that when it comes to orange peels and grapefruit peels, since you have a significant amount of them are candied and made into food, and they are mamash meichel behema. They really feed these things animals, so therefore the peels should definitely go into the pach shmita until they harden or whatever happens
potato
to them.
Peels,
well, potato peels, I'm sure you could just throw it out. Orange?
Potato peels? We eat potato peels.
What?
We eat potato.
Who's we? Okay.
Peels.
When you take off your peel, by the way, if there's even a peel that's inedible, like let's assume for a moment that potato peel is inedible, just for argument's sake. But if there's a significant amount of, so if there's a insignificant, let's talk about washing dishes, right? If there's an insignificant amount of food left on the plate, you could just throw it in the garbage. How do the poskim, they define, in this case, they define insignificant. That a person that's careful about money would also throw it into the garbage. That's how they define it. A person that's chas al mamono, that's mamash the lashon of the poskim, that even a person that's chas al mamono would not save it to be leftovers, he would just throw it out. When that, then you can do that in Shemitah too, right? And therefore you could rinse out your blender, if you blended Kedushas, make the stuff in the blender, your grinder, there's food particles, and Kedushas Shviya stuff. If it's insignificant amounts, again, that a person, even a person that's chas al mamono would just throw it out, then you could just wash it off and throw it out also. If there's a more significant amount of that, even if it's stuck to a peel that's otherwise inedible, the peel, but there's a significant amount of potato there, if that's the case, then you have to put it into the pach shmita. Okay, there's leftovers, the leftover washing dishes, grater, blender, pits. Pits, you throw out, most pits are not eaten. You have the behemoth shayla again. A lot of pits are fed to animals. It's that unresolved issue that we're not giving our pits to animals. We just wouldn't do it. And then, you know, we gotta. That's why they want Slifkin out of the community. Because he makes problems with Shemitah. Because there's animals around. So he makes a problem. You have a Right, that's right. So, anyway, when it comes to pits that are fed to animals, assuming from it's an unresolved issue, and therefore it has to go into the pach shmita.
But they don't rot.
Pits will not rot. Pits do not rot. So then put them. So there, you'll have to be soymach and just put them in nylon, put them in a plastic, and
animals
do. So that's an that's a major unresolved issue. That we're not living in a place where it's given to animals, but it's roi for animals to eat. And maybe if you traveled 3 kilometers, there's a moshav that regularly feeds their pits to animals. We're like, you know, we're city dwellers, you know, tomatoes grow in aisle 7. But really. So that's why it's not so rachok in Eretz Yisrael. We had like the whole area is ringed with moshavim and this. So, you know, you're living in an area where pits are fed to animals. So either you bring it to Slifkin. Do you have animals that have that eat pits?
They don't give any pits or anything to animals. It's dangerous for animals.
Okay, good. Throw it out in the garbage.
I'm talking about the little apple seeds. I'm talking about, like, peach pits.
Right. Yeah, no, oh, not that. Oh, I was thinking of watermelon pits, really, or orange pits.
Seeds,
right.
Oh, so pits are like...
So what do you do? It's a good question. I don't really have an answer now. If they don't rot and they don't become inedible ever...
So what are you... For years, you know, there's a double...
What ultimately... You know, put it in a nylon and take it to an Arab village and leave it there and run.
Or you can save it until you go there.
You could... Can you make jam, jelly, puree? Yeah. Whatever's the derech, you can do. Whatever's not the derech, you can't do. Just make sure it should be the derech. Okay, you want to feed soup. Oh, major issue. Ta'am. You put in an onion and that has Kedusha Shvius into your soup and it gives off flavor. Your soup now has Kedusha Shvius. What in the world are you supposed to do with the leftover soup? You can't just spill it out. It has Kedusha Shvius. You eat it or you let it sit outside your refrigerator for a day or two till you decide it has become inevitable. And all of a sudden, Otsaharis is looking more and more unattractive. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely you can do that. Yeah, I just...
You
better have a good bag.
Can't pour it directly.
What about down
there? Bones. Bones that also have absorbed Kedusha Shvius tam. So if it's the derech to be motzates the bones, they have Kedusha Shvius. And if it's not the derech to be molted, it's those bones, for whatever reason, then you can just throw them out. Same thing. However, something that's normally... You cook potatoes. What do you do with the water? You cook potatoes with Kedusha Shvias. What do you normally do with the water? So that's what you could do Shvias too. Not really. That's the rule of thumb. The rule of thumb is do what you normally do. Okay. No, see, that's a different... Okay, I shouldn't talk so sweepingly. Even if you normally... But there also, if it's an amount that most people... If a chos al mamono would throw out that amount of leftovers, see, there they're a little more careful because your mama's taking good food and you're throwing it out. So that's why they make the rule, if a chos al mamono would throw it out, then you could just throw it out. That's called, it's the derech to throw it out. You know,
giving, how do you throw the water away after you cook vegetables?
How do you throw...
How is it mutter?
What do people normally do?
I don't know. Lots
if they
times
normally
I
throw
save
it,
the water because I use it for vegetables.
The rule of thumb is if it's normally spilled out, so you spill it out here also. If you cook the beets, where you then make a borscht out of the thing, so then you're not allowed to throw it out on Shemitah either. Feeding a child on Shemitah. So some say, it's a little unresolved, really. Some say that's how the child eats. That's his derech, his or her derech achila. So just give him the food. It's okay. It's okay. He'll mess it up, he'll grind on me. It's fine. That's his derech achila. That's a child's derech achila. That's one shita. Other shita say that, no, that it is a problem. And they say the following rule. If it sounds funny, but this is what the Sfarim say. If he'll, you mamish have to make a cheshbon. If he'll waste more than half of it, then according to these, again, some shitas hold it's not a problem. That's how a baby eats. What do you want from us? Other shitas hold it is a problem, and therefore you say, if he'll waste more than half, don't give it to him. And if he'll waste up to a half, then you could give it to him. That's how they make the rule. Now, after he's eaten, and if you've cleaned up, and now you have a whole bunch of food, and it might be edible, so you have to put it into the Pach Shemitah if it's edible. I'm assuming the child makes it inedible. So again, some say it's Stam Mutter. If you want to know the Maisa what to do, if you have Kedushas, again, there's all stuff with Kedushas Shvias. You'll have to ask me for Pesach. I don't want to give out something now. So here I'm just telling you the issue. Some say that's the derech. I want to get you have a feel, right? Some say, oh, that's the derech. Anything that's the derech is allowed. So that's the derech, the way a tinok eats. And some say, no, you have to be more careful than that. And that's that. Okay. By the way, a kli's belia is not a problem. If you cooked in a pot some food with kedusha shvias, and you put in a different food, even within 24 hours, it is not a problem. The Kedusha Shvias is only transferred the time from food to food. But from food to pot, and then again pot to food, no problem, even within 24 hours. Okay, everybody knows about the Yayin with Kedusha Shvias. You can't make Havdalah on it because you can't dip the candle in. I thought that's like the most famous din about if you end up with wine with Kedusha Shvias, because one day this is going to be in 3/4 of a year, maybe a year from now. There's going to be a sign up. They're giving out Rav Nissim Karelitz. They make the wine. Wine, almost all the wine in Eretz Yisrael that's Eitz Bezdin wine is made under the auspices of Rav Nissim Karelitz's Bezdin. They're giving out wine and it's costing 30 shekel for a case. You know, giving out Eitz Bezdin wine, come get it, and you come get it. But now you have. Now you have wine with Kedusha Shvias. So you want to make Havdalah over that wine, but you can't dip the candle in it because then you're ruining wine with Kedusha Shvias and you can't take some and put in your pockets. Can't do that on Shemitah. So if you want to do that, don't make Havdalah on wine with Kedusha Shvias.
And you burn a Pesach.
What?
You burn a Pesach.
We didn't even talk about Biur. There's something called Biur, which is not Nogea till year number 8. It's very rarely Nogea. By the way, I want to tell you something that they said in the Bezdin session by Yotze Haaretz. Normally fruit, it becomes an issue Pesach time around, because all the fruit that's being picked now, fruit you don't get, vegetables, what year they belong to is determined by when they're picked. fruit, it's determined by when they flower. And any fruit that's going to appear on the market now for the next few months flowered before Rosh Hashanah, not Tu Bishvat. Rosh Hashanah is the dividing line. Flowered before Rosh Hashanah. However, the Rambam Shita is that we're talking about a third of its growth, not the flowering. And they talked about certain species of tapuzim and of avocado, they talked about, that will have the Rambam's Chanota, as it's called. It will reach a third of its growth after Rosh Hashanah and will appear on the markets already in Kislev. Cheshvan Kislev, it's going to be in the market. It grows very fast. And the flowering is now, but the Ram, and they said, you will have some fruit in the Bezin, that was one of the decisions the Bezin made, whether we have to be Choshesh for the Rambam Shita, that the determining factor is a third of its growth. And they said, definitely you have to. And therefore they said there will be certain fruit that will be appearing pretty much in the beginning of the year that will have Kedusha Shviyas. Again, because
here's the question, when are we going to know when...
The store, if you're buying by Dil Vazol, if you're buying by Eidah Haredes Hechsher, you can assume it doesn't have. You may want to treat it with Kedusha Shviyas because you may want to do like Chazanish and Minig B'nai Brak and treat Goyish produce with Kedusha Shviyas. Eidah Haredes' official position is Minig Yerushalayim, that for the last few centuries Paskind, that produce of a goy does not have Kedusha Shviyas.
Okay, so the store will have their...
No. So if they have the Eidah Haredes Hechsher, then you just have to call up Reb Malinowitz and say, should I do like the Chazon Ish? But it's up to the consumer. Eidah Haredes' official position is Minig Yerushalayim. If you buy in Dil Vazol, which signed up with Otz Haaretz, they have three sources of vegetables. Two of the sources do not have Kedusha Shviyas. One of the sources will have Kedusha Shviyas. And they're supposed to be set up that it's very, very clearly marked.
Yeah.
And I just hope, again, I hope they, I hope it's done right. Depends what the Hechsher is, again. If it has, let's say, the Haredis or a Vefrati.
So we're looking for the Hechsher wherever we buy.
It's very important in Shemitah, I said, because you can't do, that's what I said, on Shemitah it must have a Hechsher. Because of the Isser Svichin on vegetables, and because of the Isser that we're knowing in Shomur V'ne'evad, so you have to know the source of any produce that appears in the store. You can't just go buy a green pepper and say, okay, I'll take off two mesomyces myself.
No, I understand that. I want to talk about it. Like, when I go to stores, are they...
You're looking at the Hechsher.
What's
the Hechsher? If it's Eidah Haredes, it means it was bought from Goyim.
Okay.
Eidah Haredes that sold in stores fruits and vegetables. Vegetables and fruit, I should say. Sold in stores. Once in a while, there'll be signs up, we're giving out apricots today. But the stores have stuff from Goyim, or what the Eidah Haredes considers the Arava, or Chutz La'aretz. Eidah Haredes is not officially Mishaveik stuff with Kedusha Shviyas. Mishaveik stuff from Goyim, and you decide if you want to treat it with Kedusha Shviyas.
Will it be about restaurants? When you say Goyim, will they also be buying things from Chutz La'aretz, the Eidah Haredes?
I can't answer you. They say yes, they're trying with Jordan, and they're trying here, and they're trying there. Everybody's playing their cards very close to their chest. No one's talking yet where they're getting stuff from.
So there's no way we can determine if we buy in the Eidah Haredes fruit market on Dole Lake if we're buying Arab produce or non-Arab
produce? You are buying Arab produce.
It is Arab produce.
Might be from Chutz La'aretz, but it's Arab produce. I don't know what they're going to say. It's Arab produce. Yeah.
You mentioned that it's very, very expensive and not very accessible, but there is one place in Geula.
It has some Chutz La'aretz.
That's really from Chutz La'aretz.
Yeah.
We got these tomatoes from France.
Yeah, that's the store. It's on that street before Kika Shabbos on the Rehov, whatever it is. The Briskers buy there. They only get stuff from Chutz La'aretz.
Okay, but that's the only place really that you can sure know that they're getting from Chutz La'aretz.
Don't say that. That's a question of Ne'emonos. Do you mean? I don't know.
The
Eidah Haredes is not talking yet. In 2 weeks, they might say all of our green peppers are from Turkey. They're not talking yet. I don't know what they're going to do. They're not talking yet. They're not, really. Mrs. Ginsburg, they're not talking yet. No one's... Everybody's playing their cards close to their chest. Everyone's going to be attacked, whatever they do.
Okay.
We're finished. Okay.
Like
Tachlis. I don't know what you mean. First of all, who are you?
My name is
Okay. Hello. Do you belong to Tzoharitz?